Brother and Miss Titus putting up with us in her home, being there in the home. Thankful for Brother and Miss Smith bringing us up, being good to us. Is that cause it? And we're thankful for our pastor. We always enjoy hearing him preach and teach the word of the Lord. And the Lord is blessing the church there and having additions to the church and people have taught the truth of the word of the Lord. We'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews this morning in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and read one verse of scripture. In verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We also have a passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews in the first chapter and in verse 10. And the Lord in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens and are the work of his hands. We go to Isaiah, the 45th chapter, and notice how it reads in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, and in verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created heaven, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. And I am the Lord, and there is none else. So, we think of other passages of Scripture. Let's notice in Psalms 147 and verse 8, how that reads. 147 and in verse 8, who covereth the heavens and clouds and repaireth the rain and the earth, maketh grass to grow on all of the mountains. Let's read verse 5 and I intend to read. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Notice also in chapter 48 and in verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the heaven. Praise him in the heights. Praise him and all of the angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters of be above the heaven. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. We go back to the book of Psalms in the 23rd or 33rd Psalm, and notice how that reads in the 33rd Psalm. And in verse 4, it says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. His loving righteousness, he loveth righteousness, judgment, and earth. The earth is full of goodness and his glory of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Again, we see and hear of how the heavens and the earth did come into existence. And I notice in the book of Genesis, in the very first chapter, how that reads, in Genesis, the very first chapter, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We've got a little clipping here in our Bible that we read sometime. Notice how it reads. It says, top this one if you can, in an effort to really find out what happened when the earth was formed. Scientists spent weeks gathering information and feeding into a huge computer. came the great moment. A button was pushed, relays opened and closed, and lights flashed and bells rang. Finally, the message emerged, and it said, read Genesis 1:1. So that's how we have the beginning of the earth being created. And so here in the book of Genesis, this very first chapter said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Now, I believe we see here the earth being created at that time and was covered by water, and we see God the Spirit here, which moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's all he had to speak, to say it happened. All that needed to be done, God just spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. Now notice also over in verse 6, and God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the head water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Down in the last part of verse 7, and said, it was so. And in verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together to one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs, a yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruits after his kind, whose seed is in it itself upon the earth. And it was so. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament. You know, we think about the sky there, the great lights of the moon and the stars, and we go out in the night and we look up and we see all of this great involvement there that God has created. And back a few years ago, the Russians went up into outer space, and one of the men that went up, he said he looked around up there and he didn't see anything of God. And that was all, everything there around him. All he had to do was look. And there he sees the heavens. Let's just turn to Psalm the 19th. And notice how it reads in this 19th Psalm. Psalm 19, and in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That the heavens, and we, when we look and we see the great heavens there and the lights and all of those things there, that you can't think about how many things that there is, how many stars that there is. And he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, of the great mass of that thing there. And it was there to operate, and the sun and the moon was placed there, and it was established, as it speaks about there in Isaiah the 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah, and in verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heaven, God himself formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. So everything was established. Everything's ready for it to move there. And then notice all he had to do here is that in this same verse of Scripture, he created it not in vain. God has never done anything in vain. But he created the earth there for a purpose, and he formed it to be inhabited. Now he did inhabit it also. Let's go back here to the book of Genesis and see just a few more things here. What God said in verse 9, he said, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and it was so. And God said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs, and it was so. And in verse 14, God said, let there be lights, and down in the end of that verse, and it was so. And God said in verse 28, Let the waters bring forth all abundance of all the things of life there. And God saw that it was good in the last part of verse 21. In verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth and his kind, and cattle, and their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, and every his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man upon the earth. So these things all come to pass. You're talking about all of the things that was created and made, and there's nothing here on this earth but what it's not. It was brought about, but it was created when God there created the heavens and the earth. And he put all the kinds of animals here. He put all kinds of trees here. He put all kinds of vegetables here. Put everything here upon this earth. Now, for years, man has been going to outer space. They've been trying to prove that there's life on some other planet. But they've never found any life on another planet. But God did create this earth here, and he put everything here that is needful for man to live, and for water here for man to drink, and everything that we can think about, it's here. And I was thinking last night, I was just studying a little bit there, you notice some things he put here. You think about a thistle, you think about a cucumber, you think about those things. What purpose was it here? It reminds you that God, the man, has sinned against God. And he's tall with those things. He's going to fight with those things. He's going to be worried with the rest of his life. But it's put there for a purpose. And I thought also about there in the time that he put the judgment upon Egypt there. There was the lice, the flies, and all of those things that you think about. And a lot of people say, well, what profit is there in lice? Or what profit is there in flies? God used them to bring judgment upon Egypt. He used them to bring judgment upon Egypt. He knew when he created heavens and the earth, and he put every little insect, and he put everything in this world, he was going to use it. It was going to be used for his honor and for his glory. And so, we see here, God said, let there be waters under the heavens, and all these things accomplished here. And also, this passage of Scripture was read this morning there in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Brother Hall used it here. And notice again, in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, God said that he was going to destroy man. He's going to destroy mankind. And it came to pass. It happened as God said that it would come to pass. And there we see a God of judgment there at that time, as he brought about that there was a great flood that came upon this earth and covered the complete earth. We see God in judgment. And God as a judge there is pouring out judgment. And also there this other judgment to think about that Brother Hall mentioned this morning. There in Lot's day, there was a city. And that city had been warned that there was going to be a great judgment fall upon that city. And there, we're thinking about the greatness of God and that he has done and how he brought this about. He warned Lot. He warned people in that city. And there, he said if he's down 40 people, he would not destroy it. He'd gone down to 10 people there in that city, he would not destroy it. And there wasn't even 10 righteous people in the city, but Lot and his family was there. And God went about there, and they warned Lot. And Lot was so concerned about there that the people had to come and get him and lead him out of the city. And they told him to flee to the mountains. And instead of him fleeing to the mountains, there's a city there. He said, let me stay in this city. It wasn't too far away. He didn't want to get any farther away from Sodom there than what he was. And so they let him remain there. And yet there was one more step in the life of Lot's life there that came after he settled in that city. One more backsliding step. Let's go back to the book of Psalms in the 33rd Psalm again. Notice in this 33rd Psalm how it reads, find here. This 33rd Psalm, again it says here in verse 6, is by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together in a heap. He layeth up the depths of the storehouse. That let all the earth fear the Lord, that all inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. He spake, and it was so, it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, all of the things that we read to you in the book of Genesis, there, that was all that God had to do, was to speak. He says, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it was fast, or it come to pass. And notice here, for he spake, and it came to pass. And notice something else this morning here, down in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And this nation today, we need to think about this nation and many other nations. And this nation today is drifting far away from God. And then whenever they begin to take the Ten Commandments out of the offices and the courthouses, and nobody wanting to see the Ten Commandments, there's a manifestation there that this nation is not believing that in God as they should. They're not letting this nation, or letting God be a God to this nation. And notice in verse 8, he says, Let all the earth fear the Lord, and all inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. We'd like to go now to the book of Job. And notice here in the book of Job, in about the 13th chapter of the book of Job. And it speaks there in this first scripture here. In verse 11 of the 13th chapter, shall not my excellency make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? Now we're talking about this God that we've been speaking about this morning. Now, Job says, shall not his excellency, the excellency of God, make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? Now let us go to the 23rd chapter of the book of Job, and let us notice in this about this 12th verse. Well, let's go back to verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed to me, and many much things are with him. Therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. Are you afraid of God? I'm afraid of God. I fear God. I know God can chastise me. And Job says here, when I consider him, I'm afraid of him. And I wonder today if we, many times in our life, we come to the place that we do not stop and consider him. We're not considering him as we should. And there, old Job said, when he really considered, now let's turn to the book of Psalms again, in Psalms 139. And notice here, Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Now you know God knows about a whole lot about us. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For it's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall over me. For thou hast possessed my reins, down in verse 13, and hast covered me in my mother's womb. We see here the psalmist speaking here about the greatness of God and how much that God knew all about him and how much God knows all about us. Here in this fourth verse says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful. It is high. I cannot attain into it. Whether shall I go from this? And it speaks about up in verse 3, or verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. You know, God knows every thought before the foundation of the world that we would ever have. Every thought that ever come into the mind of any person in this world, God knew that before the foundation of the world. Now we're talking about the excellency of God. And that's what it speaks about there in the 13th chapter of the book of Job that we read a while ago. And let's go back there and think of that just again in this 13th chapter of the book of Job. And he says, shall not his excellency make you afraid and his dread fall upon you? In Job 13 and verse 11. Oh, today, think about the many things that God all knows all about each one of us and every day of our lives. It makes no difference where we go or what we're involved in. He already knows what is going to happen, whatever took place there in our lives. And so we go to Psalms 145 again. Notice here how it reads a thing or two more here in the book of Psalms. Psalms 50 and verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to the excellency of his greatness. Oh, several places in the Bible using the word excellency, referring to God. He's excellent in power. And there, as we read there in the book of Job, about he sees all things. He's excellent in vision. He's excellent in power. He's excellent in foreknowledge. He's excellent in all things. There's nothing but what God is not excellent in. And so there might be people, I'm sure, in the lives of all of us as far as that goes. There's been things that we have done or many things that we've thought that was in our lives that we knew that nobody else didn't know anything about it. But there's one that did know something about it. Never evil thought that we ever have that's wrong and contrary to the teaching word of God. There, God knows about that. That's His excellency. And so we don't keep anything hid from God. So Job said there in verse 23, when I stop and consider, I'm afraid of Him. And when we really stop and consider it, we know what God can do. You know, as He laid His hand on many in judgment, and there poured out His judgment upon them, and the nations, over in the book of Jeremiah, in about the fifth chapter of the book of Jeremiah, notice here in verse 22, He says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sands on the bounds of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over? And God there did send the flood one day, and there He after that flood, He giveth the rainbows, the token there that He never cover the earth with water again. He set the bounds there of the sea there, and regardless of how much it might roar or whatever the water is going to do, it's not going to prevail any farther than God intends for it to go. And so He speaks here about this, but He says, this people hath revolted and in a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord, our God that giveth rain." So there's fear in our lives because of what that we know that God can do and has done many, many times. And we think about His greatness. Let's go back to the 48th chapter of the book of Psalms. And notice here in verse 5 again, "Great is the Lord, and of His power and understanding is infinite." So we praise the Lord. Now notice in Psalm 148 and verse 13, "Let us praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. He also extols the horn of His people. The praise of all His saints and of the children is of Israel, the power near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord." So it speaks about in that 13th verse, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent." We think about God and the God of judgment, and we go back there, and men mentioned this morning and some other times in the service there, the time of the flood, and God was going to pour out judgment upon this earth, and there was only one man and his family there, and all the people on earth there that feared God, and Noah there believed God, and He said to Noah to build an ark, and by faith Noah worked 120 years, believing all that 120 years that God was going to send that flood upon this earth. Just that one man and his family, just think about it, and of all the other people, God's judgment fell there upon this earth. Oh, what judgment that was to come there at that time and destroy all of those people there. But yet, there was a warning that came, a warning given. And, you know, it speaks about in the book of Revelation, in the tribulation time, that there's going to be hailstones, it's going to be the weight of a talent. I believe that's something like 90 pounds. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? But still, it's going to happen. It's going to take place. God has said it. And it's going to happen. It's going to take place. So, these things we see here about the things of the Lord. And let's think about also now he's going to come one of these days, as Brother Hall has preached this morning. And in the book of Hebrews, we'd like to read a passage of Scripture or two there in the book of Hebrews. In the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I believe. Well, in the 2nd chapter of Hebrews, 2nd chapter of the book of Hebrews. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. We see the excellency and the wonderfulness of the love and the kindness of God here, and we see Jesus, as we said a while ago. Whenever we look out at the heavens, we see the stars and the moon and all those, we see God. We're looking at God. We're looking at God's work. And that astronaut that went up there and said he didn't see anything on God. But everything that was around him when he was there out in the outer space, there, if he would have knew anything about God, if he knew anything about the Bible, he would have knew that the God was all around him. And so that's the thing. The thing that's happened with many times, people don't think about what a great thing it is and what an important thing it is there. And the Lord said in the beginning, the foundation of the earth and the heavens, and the word of thine hand. That was the work of his hand. And so then, here in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering and death. Now the time came when Jesus Christ was in this world. Now that he was going to go to the cross of Calvary, he told his apostles, he was going to be crucified, he's going to be buried, he's going to rise again the third day. He reminded them several different times, but they did not think that that would happen, that that come to pass there. And as he did go to the cross and suffer and bleed and die, let's go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and see here in the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, few verses of Scripture here, how it speaks about here when Jesus was going to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. John the 19th chapter. You know, there'd been a lot of things that had been taking place, and all down through the Old Testament there, that time prophesying, making known of this, what would take place and what would happen. And so here in this 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw this his mother and his disciples standing by whom he loved, and to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." This then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that day and hour the disciple took her mother into his own house. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things now were accomplished, all down through the Old Testament, that spoke time and time again, and there the animals are slain, and there in the book of Isaiah, it spoke about a virgin that would become of child and be born of this world, and his name would be Emmanuel. And in the first chapter of the book of Matthew, it speaks about how that this had come to pass, and there that he was going to save his people. Amen. And here in this verse of Scripture, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things are now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And all we think about the wonderful and glorious love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ, God loved us. As we noticed in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, in closing, just a few statements here in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, and in verse 3 it says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee and the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Back in verse 2 it says, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give life to as many, eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now we find this statement here, where that God gave these unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 6, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and thou hast kept thy word. On down in verse 9, I believe it is. And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. And down in verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. I keep those thine own name, through thine own name, whom thou hast given me. There's two or three other passages of Scripture here in this same chapter speaking about those that the Father gave unto the Son. And he was going to go to the cross and die for them. Now let's notice how much that he loved. Over in verse 22 of this same chapter, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one in me. And them, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus said that you have loved them as you have loved me. You know, that's something great to think about, isn't it? Such sinners. Such people as we were. You know, we see God in some Bible characters. You know, the man that lived down among the tombs. Now he was naked and was wild. And it says, we find him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. See Jesus in him. See God in him. And the woman at the well, very sinful woman, as soon as she was saved, she says, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. And the man that lived out among the tomb, it said that he went into the city and he told throughout that whole city what great things God had done for him. So we see today that this great salvation that we have, we see God in the lives of each individual that has been saved by the grace of God. We see God in the churches. We see God in homes, there where the families are saved, and there they go about their business of living right, instructing their children, dressing right, and doing the things, and they're attending the service of God. You see God in the lives of those people. You see God in the lives of men of God that are called to preach, that's gone to foreign lands, and they forsook their homes and their families, and they go there You see, God in their lives, they're giving their life there that others might hear and know about the truth. They're to be saved by the grace of God. And there are the churches being organized and set up like it is in Australia there. And that great work of going on there, all because of the grace of God. We thank you today for your attention in the service. Ask that you pray for us as we try to continue to preach the word of the Lord, as the Lord gives us the opportunity to realize our mind is not as sharp as it was one day. It was never too sharp, but getting a little forgetful now. So, God bless you.